It's from John chapter 4, verses 1 to 25. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband, and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God's Spirit and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us."
This is our third and final sermon, for a while at least, coming from this scripture passage. So if you've been here the last few weeks, this particular story is becoming pretty familiar, I guess. And I hope if you have not heard the previous sermons that you'll take a look online. It's esumcprague.org. The sermons are on there. I think there are a couple of very important sermons, particularly the one Jenny referred to from a couple of weeks ago about how Jesus sees our sin. Very important topic. So I hope you'll listen to that one on our website if you haven't heard it already, and maybe even if you have. But today we come to another very important topic. When Jesus is interacting with this woman, and he tells her to call her husband, and she says, "I have no husband." And he says, "Yeah, you're right. You had five husbands, and you are now living with a man." When she hears him say this, she says, "I see you're a prophet." And realizing that he's a prophet, she has questions about the controversies of the day. That's immediately where her mind goes. When she sees that he understands her life, that he knows that she's been married five times and living with a man, even though she's never met him before, she sees that he's a prophet, and her first inclination is to say, "You know what? Now's my chance to ask about the controversy. Because us Samaritans, now we worship on the mountain, but you Jewish people, you worship in the city of Jerusalem." You really think that was important? And yes, that's the first thing that comes to her mind when she finds out she is speaking to this very powerful prophet. Who's right? Are we right or are they right? And Jesus does something really interesting here. He tells her, well, the religion comes from the Jews. And you Samaritans are actually worshiping what you don't know, and the Jewish people are worshiping what they do know. So he actually says to her, well, the Jewish people are right on this one. But he does something amazing. He throws all that out. And he says, there's coming a day when people, neither one will matter. It doesn't matter on the mountain or in Jerusalem. None of that matters. That God is spirit, and that we worship God in spirit and in truth. And I think ever since then, people have heard the words of the woman at the well and continue to ask the same kind of questions. God, who's right and who's wrong? How are we doing it right, or are they doing it right? God, we have this dispute between us, and we need to know who's right. And Jesus throws all that stuff out. He says, God is spirit. And if we are going to worship God, there's a higher plane than that. There's a higher level than that. Now, he says that the Jewish people are worshiping what they know, and the religious comes from the Jews. So wouldn't you think that Jesus would try to convince her to come over to that proper side? I mean, after all, he said that they were right. Wouldn't you think that Jesus would say to this woman, yeah, you Samaritans need to get your act together, because the Jews are actually right on this one. You all need to get down to Jerusalem and start doing it there, because that's the right way. He didn't do that. He said neither one really matter, because there's coming a day when it's going to be so much more than that. And that leads me to wonder something. I wonder if a lot of the things in our life aren't like that. A lot of the disputes between us in life, a lot of the arguments that we have between us in life, I wonder if there is something higher than all of this, even if one side might know that they're right over the other. In other words, I wonder if one side being right and one side being wrong could actually both meet at a higher level that neither of them are on right now. Wouldn't that be a profound thing? Wouldn't that be an amazing thing if we quit trying to change everybody that they think is wrong, and that we start trying to prove our rightness and show people that I'm right, and I know I'm right, and I need to show you I'm right, and you need to come over here and see me in my rightness as I'm right. We don't say it like that. But don't most of our family disputes sound like that? Most of our church disputes sound like that? Wouldn't it be amazing if Jesus came in the midst of all of our disputes of life and said, you know what? There's actually a higher plane than both of you are on. Even if one might be one right more than the other. Even if one of you's got it right and one of you's got it wrong, there might be a higher plane of understanding and connection with God. I find that really fascinating. That while he would say that you Samaritans are worshiping what you don't know, and the Jewish people are worshiping what they do know, because the religion comes from the Jews, he actually says the Jewish people are right. He makes zero effort to make sure she does it the way the Jewish people are doing that. That's a fascinating thing to me. He makes zero effort to make her come over to the being right, because he wants to bring her to a different place, a higher place. He wants to show her that these disputes, right or wrong, are not as important as connecting with God, are not as important as being in the presence of God, that God is spirit, and the worship comes in spirit and in truth. And so the thing is, we've spent a lot of time in Christianity over the last few millennia splitting ourselves into various groups because we can't get along with each other. And there may be some people that are more right than others in those things. But I think if we look at this story, Jesus would say, yeah, that group probably is more right than that group on this one. But there is a day, actually that day is now, because Jesus is referring here to the death and resurrection. That's the day that's coming. We live in a day where God is spirit, and the worship is in spirit and in truth. I don't know how many fights I've heard over the years between churches of what kind of music style there should be, what kind of preaching style there should be, you know, what color the drape should be, what color choir robe should be. We avoid that here because we don't have a choir. You know, all these things that people fuss about in church. There's been arguments in history about things like how many angels could dance on the head of a pin. I'm not making that up. That was actually a big fight. They actually argued about that one. We had all kinds of things to argue about. And I think Jesus actually does know who's right and who's wrong in these things. And I think ultimately, he doesn't always care. I think he wants to get us to a place that we connect with God. And then it doesn't matter if you're worshiping in Jerusalem or on a mountain, but you're worshiping God. It doesn't matter what song style you have or what preaching style you have or what color the drapes are, that you are in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I think that's what we have to strive for. That in all the things that we do, especially in church, especially in worship, they always need to be not about preferences and not about arguments, but always about being in the presence of the Holy Spirit, being in the presence of God. Now, if we can do that, if we do that much as a church, as the people of God, we began to see, you know, we may have disagreements and we may have arguments and we may not like one thing or another. And I might be right and you might be wrong, but you know what? Even if I'm right and you're wrong, we can meet at a higher level than that. We can meet at a higher level of understanding, a higher level of connection, because we are not connected by agreement. We are connected by the Spirit of God. If we get to that place as a church, that starts to open up a whole new set of doors, okay? So I don't know if we can ever get there as a church, especially globally. But if we can get that much, if we can hear what Jesus is saying here about meeting at a higher place, a higher plane, a higher understanding of not I'm right, you're wrong, but you know what? Even if I am, I don't have a monopoly on the truth. I still have a higher understanding to get to, and we can meet not at our agreement, but we can meet at the feet of God. We can even disagree with one another, but we can meet at the love of God in the Spirit of Christ. That's a much higher plane. Now, if we get that when it comes to worship, if we get that as a church, that begins to open up other doors for us that become really important, particularly as we start to have a vision of Christmas. One of the things that happens in Christmas, for a lot of people, not everyone, but for a lot of people, you get to see your family. Or sometimes we have to say, we have to see our family. Sad when we have to say it like that. Or some people will avoid seeing their family. Families are strange things. Families are nuts. Some are more functional than others, but families are strange things. And the thing is, particularly this time of year, this comes up. As we approach December, as we approach Christmas, these things come up because everybody's got that aunt or that uncle or that cousin that they just can't stand. And they spend the whole year trying to avoid them. But during Christmas, you have to get together with the family and be nice. And now everybody's got that person in their family. And if you think you don't have that person in your family, then you're probably it. Because it's almost universal. In fact, it's universal. Everybody's got that struggle in their family. And isn't that frustrating? Because they're just so wrong. They're wrong, 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 wrong. There's two ways to handle this thing, and both of them are correct. And this is the way we have to do this. One, there is a fantastic book that I will highly recommend to you, and it's a book called Boundaries. It's written by two authors named Townsend and Cloud. Fantastic book. It's called Boundaries. Everybody should read this book. You need to read the Bible and you need to read Boundaries. Those are the two books you must read in life. If you haven't read Boundaries, you should get this. It's a fantastic book. You must read it. Did I say you should read Boundaries? You should read this book. There are times you cannot be around certain people. There are some people that are so toxic that you cannot be around them. Way back at the beginning of this story, you see Jesus kind of bolted because there was this big controversy started up. Way back at the beginning of this, there was this big hubbub about who was baptized and who and how much. And Jesus wasn't going to deal with all that toxic stuff, and so he left. It's called boundaries. There are some people you don't need to be around. There are some relationships that do not need to continue. That's always hurtful. That's always sad. That's always a thing that causes tremendous grief. But there are some relationships that cannot continue, and there are some people you cannot be around because they are too abusive and too toxic. And I don't have time to get into all those different scenarios, but boundaries does. Okay? So if you have that in your life and you're wondering, is it possible that I can have a relationship or not? Read that book. Okay? And if you want to talk about that book, call me. We'll talk about it because this is an important thing. You can't cut people out of your life without a lot of hardship, but sometimes it has to happen. Even Jesus left certain situations. Okay? Jesus was nothing but love, and yet there are sometimes you have to cut off certain situations. That's one way you can handle this, and the book Boundaries will help you a great deal if you need to face that issue. The second way to handle these things is to know that if this person is someone that you choose to be around, if this relationship is one that you choose to continue, even if it's difficult, even if it's hurtful, even if it's frustrating, even if this person drives you crazy, you're thinking about somebody right now, aren't you? I know you are. I hear you thinking. That person you're thinking about right now, even if you choose to continue a relationship with this person, you're probably not going to make them understand how wrong they are. Occasionally, you'll have an opportunity to talk to people, and they will see that they are wrong. That happens, especially if you get a couple of reasonable people that have a disagreement, and they can talk it out, and one of them can see that they're wrong, or maybe both of them are wrong in some ways, and they work it out. That happens. But some people are never going to know they're wrong. There are some times you cannot convince someone they're wrong. There are some people that get things in their head and you cannot blow it out with dynamite. And if you're going to have a relationship with this person, it has to be at a higher level of love. This is what Jesus is teaching within the church, and it can be applied to other relationships. That while he tells this woman, yeah, the Jews are right and Samaritans are wrong on this one, but it doesn't really matter because there's a higher level. There is a spirit and truth. If you are going to have a relationship with people that are driving you insane, people that are really hurtful in your life, people that are a hardship in your life, you are not going to be able to change those people most likely. Now, you can give it a shot. If it works, great. But most likely, you're not going to be able to change dysfunctional, toxic people. Very rarely happens. People only change when they want to change. You can't change them. I know that's bad news. People change when they want to change. You cannot change them. And so, if you're not going to have a relationship, then get the book Boundaries. Call me if you need to. I can walk you through the book. I've read it 20 times. But if you're going to have a relationship with these people, then Jesus tells us how. He tells us in the church, but you can apply it to the family too. It has to be at a higher level. Okay, I'm right, you're wrong. Okay, but let's meet at a higher level of love. Let's have a higher connection of love. They may not understand that. They may never get what you're doing. This is a spiritual endeavor. This is a place that I have chosen to have a relationship with you, even though I know you're wrong, and even though you're hurtful in my life, and even though this is a hardship for me to have a relationship with you. I could choose to set a boundary and not have a relationship, but I am choosing to have a relationship with you. And so I am going to choose to have a spiritual level of love that is higher than the fact that I'm right and you're wrong. I hope that makes some sense to you. Because this will help you a whole lot in a lot of things in your life if we get what Jesus is teaching here. Right and wrong doesn't always matter. There is a higher level of these things. There's a higher level of existence than the stuff we get into. And that is love. That is spirit. That is the Spirit of God. And so Jesus teaches, it's not a matter of who's right and who's wrong among the Jews and the Samaritans. There's a day coming, and that day came at the day of resurrection, that this worship is spirit and truth, that God is spirit, and there's a connection with God. Regardless of all these other rituals, there's a connection with God on a higher plane, that none of this stuff you're debating now matters. If we get that, we're going to have a more powerful worship in our own life, that we can walk into church and we can love the songs. They cannot be our favorite. You know, we can love the preacher. Preacher might be an idiot. You know, we can love the sermon. Sermon might be pretty dry that day, but God's there. Now, I'm not saying I shouldn't preach good sermons. Rob always does good music. We do the best we can. We're always going to do the best we can. Everybody that's up on this stage is always going to do the best they can. But we're human beings, and we're not always going to excel at everything. But God's here. And if we start getting that when we come to church, this is not about, did I get what I was looking for exactly, but is God here? Then a lot of these ritual things, they're not important. All they do is point us to God, and we connect with God on a powerful level, in spirit and in truth. And if we start to extrapolate that into other areas, if we get that truth, we can take that next step into our other relationships outside of church. That some of these things that I'm right and they're wrong and they're driving me crazy because I know how wrong they are and they can't see how wrong they are, you know, we might be able to meet on a higher level. A level of love, a level of compassion that says, yeah, I know I'm right and I know you're wrong and you're driving me crazy because you're wrong, but I can have compassion even in your wrongness. I can have compassion and I can have love. And we can meet at that top level, even if that other person doesn't show up at that level, that I can have a relationship with you through the Spirit of God. Now, as I said, there are some relationships that even Jesus walked away from. That is a difficult decision in life. But if we are going to have relationships that are hurtful and difficult because they are family and we want to keep them, or they are friends for a long time and the things have hit a rough spot, but we want to work through it, we meet at a higher level. Jesus says being right is not always the most important thing. There's something deeper. There's something more powerful. There's something higher in life. And so as we approach the Christmas season, let's remember that. There'll be a lot of different ways different people celebrate Christmas. Okay, we'll agree on some of those. We'll not agree on some of them. There'll be a lot of different family events. We'll love some of our families. Some of them we'll force ourselves to endure. There'll be a lot of things happening at work. There'll be a lot of stuff happening around the city. Some of it we'll enjoy. Some of it we may not. It's okay. There's a higher level of all of this, because it doesn't matter if it's in Jerusalem or on the mountain. It's God. We meet at a higher level, and life becomes a lot sweeter that way. And relationships are a lot better that way. And worship is a lot more powerful that way. And my prayer is that you have that and that we have that, and we certainly have it here in this place every time we come to worship and we come to pray before God. And so as we always do, let's have a time of prayer together, and let's know that the Spirit of God is here with us, and it doesn't matter what struggles we have in our life, that the Spirit of God is here with us. And where we may be wrong or where somebody else may be wrong, God is here with us. And we can meet at that higher level. And so I'm going to begin our prayer, and I invite you to pray as well. If you want to pray out loud, please do that. You can pray in any language in which you are comfortable praying. Or if you don't want to pray aloud, that's perfectly fine as well. We can have a silent time of prayer together, because God hears the prayers of our heart. But let's spend some time with the Spirit of God here with us in this time of prayer. God, thank you that in this conversation, even when you knew who was right and who was wrong, you didn't make that important. You told her that the Jewish people were doing right and the Samaritans didn't know what they were doing, but you didn't make that important. You knew that there was a higher level that was much more important, of connection with God. So, Lord, where we are wrong. Let us be humble and know that we need to be at a higher level. But Lord, where we are right, let us be humble and know that we need to be at a higher level. Let us meet as a church in spirit and in truth. And let that same thing, that same idea, get into us for our families and our friends and our relationships, particularly this time of year as we are approaching Christmas and we may have plans with family and with friends. And while that can be wonderful, it can also be difficult. So Lord, let us meet at a higher level, even if others don't join us there. Let us join at a level of love and compassion that comes from the Spirit and not on a level of who's right and who's wrong. Lord, guide us in compassion, guide us in humbleness, guide us to not be wrong. Help us, even when we're right, to seek the higher level of love and compassion in all our relationships, and particularly as the people of God, your church. Hear us, Lord, in the ways that we are right, in the ways that we are wrong, all needing to rise to the higher level of love. Lord, hear our prayers.